pass, and it was Gale. Oh, what about that? Pajero! Oh, you beauty!
They think it's all over. It is now.
Say a Merry Christmas to you guys, our listeners of the Drop Ball. This is the Christmas episode. It's a bumper episode. I do hope you enjoy it. It's a bit of a special one. We're basically gonna focus it on this decade from the Premier League. So we want to kick it off with the team of the decade. Goalkeeper, who have we all gone for?
I've gone for De Gea.
I've also gone De Gea.
I've gone Petr Cech.
Petr Cech is on my bench, actually.
He's on my bench as well.
I understand what you're probably going to say about De Gea, and I was, you know, to-ing and fro-ing between the two. But Cech, different gravy. I think the helmet as well just tops it off.
I asked him a chat if we were just taking into consideration Premier League, or if we were talking about in terms of like what else we've done. And I think if we were talking about bringing into Champions League as well as that, Cech might have made my start in 11, especially for the display against Munich.
Yeah.
But because it was focused purely on Premier League, I think in the last 9 or 10 years, De Gea has definitely just been, he's been a staple for Man United, and he's made this post-Alex Ferguson era slightly more bearable for Man United fans, because the amount of times where he's had, let's face it, he's had a pretty ropey defence in front of him for the past like couple of years. Like, I know he's got Maguire now, but having Phil Jones really would not fill me with much confidence if I was a goalkeeper.
He doesn't fill the fans with a lot of it either, don't worry.
Unbelievable keeper, really. He's been one of the top keepers of the decade in the whole world, really. Him and Neuer probably the standout too.
I'd say he's probably he's the only person in his position in the league in the last decade that has been world class at any time, has been like the best keeper in the world, I'd say. Petr Cech, I'd say personally, if we're talking Premier League history, would be in the conversation. But this last decade is nowhere near as good as he was in the early 2000s. Like 2004-05, he was world class. Now, De Gea, obviously, he was interested from Real Madrid, Atletico, Barca, Bayern wanted him at one point. Like every big club in Europe seemed to want him. And personally, I love the boy. I had to get a Man United player in there somehow.
What formations have we all gone for?
I've gone 4-3-3.
Yeah, same.
I've gone 3-4-2-1.
Oh,
where have you gone?
I said 4-3-3.
I've personally gone a 3-5-2. Just for the sole fact I wanted to talk about it is when Conte came to Chelsea, sort of revolutionised every decade as a formation, and I think this has became the formation of the Premier League right now.
Three at the back.
You see teams like Newcastle playing it, Sheffield United playing it. A lot of big clubs nowadays are looking towards three at the back. Man United have done it a few times this season. Got a draw against Liverpool with it. Only team to get a point out of them in the Premier League this season. Just saying. So I wanted to bring in that formation just to sort of say, I think it's been the best formation of the decade.
What about centre-backs?
Okay, so I'll kick it off. I've obviously got three. Do you want me to list all three?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I've only got two, but...
Vincent Kompany.
Yeah.
John Terry.
Yeah.
And Azpilicueta.
I've got the exact same back three as you, mate.
I only went Kompany and John Terry.
Oh yes, everyone's got John Terry.
My backups on the bench were Van Dijk and Azpilicueta.
Fair play.
Yeah, Kompany and JT. I think captain in their sides. I think both won three titles this decade.
Four for Kompany.
Is it four for Kompany?
Yeah.
Either way.
Either way, let's forget that Kompany's better than JT.
No, Terry, what a boy. Captain, leader, legend.
Yeah. Until you miss a penalty.
Who's on your bench?
Centre back.
Yeah.
Van Dijk.
I've gone Van Dijk on my bench. Obviously, I've got the exact same defence of Azpilicueta, John Terry, and Vincent Kompany. But my other defender on my bench, I've got Patrice Evra. I'd say personally, I think Azpilicueta's been a better centre back and right back than he has a left back. And I nearly laid a four at the back, and Evra was in the team at left back. Obviously, he won two league titles with Man United in the decade. Club legend. I think he's been the best player in this position, especially the first half of the decade. And if, personally for me, if they'd been playing and if they'd been on the form they are at now for a long period of time, I'd probably be putting Robertson in there. But he's only been the best player in his position for the last two seasons, I'd say, personally.
What about... I know you've got... I think we've gone same right back. Have you gone Zabaleta as well?
Yeah, Zabaleta. Yeah. Left back, I've gone Azpilicueta.
Really?
I had to fit him in there somewhere.
I went big boy Leighton Baines.
Oh,
I know.
Everton.
I went Baines because he's got 32 goals, which as a defender is very high for the Premier League. And he's also got 53 assists, which again is one of the highest in the Premier League for a defensive player. And he's also, I think he's the second most capped Everton player in the league behind Tim Howard. And just in my head, when I hear left back, Leighton Baines is one of the first players who comes in my head. I did have Azpilicueta on my bench as a backup for that position, to be honest.
I had to get Azpilicueta in there just for the success he's had at Chelsea and playing all across the back line. So I've put him in at left back.
And with Azpilicueta, sorry to cut you there, I'll let you come back to your point, but with Azpilicueta, there's never a moan or groan. You know, he might prefer playing right back, but he's filled in. You know, when Conte came in, really adapted him into that right centre back position. And some of the through balls that he used to play for Morata, yes, Morata's spell wasn't by any means any good at Chelsea, but he got the ball on the edge of the box, and you knew that was being clipped into Morata, and that just for those, you know, even if it was just 10 games that might have taken place, that was really like just something that got you out of your seat in seasons that might have been quite difficult post the title win. Sorry, get back to your point.
I was just saying, like Joe Zabaleta at right back, I think what he's done with City, obviously forget West Ham, but what he did at City was incredible. And then on my bench, the fullback is Ivanovic. I think gone under the radar.
I was close, to putting
two
Ivanovic
titles
in.
As well.
I was close to putting Ivanovic in there, but I feel like Zabaleta is just slightly better as an all-round right back compared to Ivanovic.
Oh, I don't know. That goal against Man City where he slams it in.
There's something about Ivanovic. I don't know why. As a Man United fan, I've always loved him. It might be the way he defends with his arms. He always has his arms behind his back.
But also the fact that he's not exactly rapid, but he's always in the box to score goals.
When he used to cover in centre-back, I thought it was amazing. Like, I think he's such a great player. And I think
it's a shame the way that he left as well. I don't really think we gave him a big enough send-off. No. You know, because he wasn't one of these flashy players or anything like that. He just did his job well. And if we're going for awards for best defending from preventing a penalty, then you'd have to go Ivanovic.
You'd
the
have
hands,
to give it to him, wouldn't
you? The arms, the hands staying right by, staying right behind the back, and we love that. But yeah, Azpilicueta, as I say, he just doesn't ever like complain. Never kicks up a stink. Any issues. Terry, you know what you get, and he'll put his head on the line literally. Company. You know, that goal against Leicester was a great send-off for him.
One in the league. Really.
And what I want to say about Kompany as well, I'll touch upon him later, wink, wink, is that he's never really had a solid centre-back partnership. And to say how many titles that City have won, I think it's pretty much down to him and perhaps Zabaleta at the back, you know, keeping it tight, because they've also had players like Clichy who have really been pretty poor for them. Demichelis, you know, imagine having to partner these guys. Otamendi's not been
Lescott's probably his best.
I'd say Lescott and maybe John Stones, in the
and then years, with even with Stones, you just it's injury
Stones
after
is only,
injury.
Stones is only just really kicking on.
I mean, you'd say Laporte, right, as well from last year, but Kompany was out for a fair bit of it.
You've got wing backs or like right mid, left mid.
Right
type
mid, left
I've
mid.
I've got right mid, left mid because I've got two holding midfielders in there.
Right, let's go to the midfield, central midfield then.
Two holding midfielders. I'm going to go first. I've got N'Golo Kanté, who in my opinion is the best player in the league right now. And then I've got one of the best midfielders of all time, I think, in Yaya Toure.
I've got the exact same players. I mean, I've also got David Silva.
Exactly the same as that, Joe.
Well, I've effectively got four central midfielders because I've shoehorned them in because basically I'm an attacking guy. I've gone Fernandinho and Kante at the base. And then as kind of like inverted forwards, but also in the attacking midfield role, I've gone David Silva and Yaya Toure. All four of those, yes, there's three City. And you might say it's a City bias, but, you know, they've won the most titles this decade. So, you know, how can we not include them? And all of these players deserve a mention. Fernandinho, when you take him out of that side, even still, when he's not in that midfield, City, we've seen just collapse. There's no stalwart. You know, he's just that anchor in front of the defence, which probably does help the fact that Kompany, you know, as I said just then, hasn't had that strong centre back partnership. But Fernandinho does a hell of a lot of work for them guys.
I think as well, I'd just like to mention how good Yaya Toure was. I think a lot of the time people sort of remember his sort of him being pushed out of the club and like when the whole saga of him not getting a birthday cake and him being really sad all the time. But the 2013-2014 season, he scored 20 goals from midfield. I know there was six penalties and four free kicks in there, but he still scored 20 goals from midfield.
Is that the season with the one against Aston Villa where he just blitzes his way through?
When I saw him on the lineup, I was scared as a Man United fan. I knew that he was just gonna destroy us.
I think he's the closest. He's the closest to replicating perhaps the goal involvements from a midfielder to Lampard.
Yeah, he's the near. You know. I think He got the nearest to Lampard's record of most goals in a season from midfield. And I think just he could do everything. Like he was a massive goal threat, but then when he had to be pushed further back and had to defend, he could sit deep and push on. And I think it is also sort of like forgotten that he did come from Barcelona, and it was a massive transfer in. It was a massive getting him to Man City. And I think just everyone sort of remembers more the his departure from the club, not his arrival and how great he was as a player.
And I think the evolution of him as well. Barca, Pep was trying to shape him into a defensive midfielder. He ended up, I mean, whenever City operated under Mancini or Pellegrini with the 4-2-3-1, he just didn't seem happy in that two pivot. Going forward, it's kind of like Pogba. I compare him slightly to Pogba. They just want to go forward because they've got so much flair, and they're just such a powerhouse as well. Mm. And for those late runs, imagine somebody like Torre joining you as you've got Aguero making the front post run, and then you've got Torre coming on the edge of the box as well. I mean, doesn't get much better, really. And Torre's got to be in there for me. And like you say, Adam, I think sometimes it is underappreciated also how he's just changed his game completely.
Do we have any... obviously, David Silva's in there because...
I've been playing 3-5-2 and I'm playing him quite attacking, but he's
probably
in my starting midfield.
Probably
as well.
Most underrated. Yeah. One of the most underrated, anyway.
Is this his last season?
It is his last season.
I think he's come
sad. It's sad to see he's not going to go
on. Have we got any centre mids on the bench?
I've got two. One's Kevin De Bruyne. I think if he was here last season and didn't have as many injuries over the last maybe 2 years, I'd say he could be pushing for David Silva's spot. And the other one might be a bit controversial to some. I've gone for Cesc Fabregas.
I've gone for Fabregas
on the bench.
His season 10-11, which pushed his move to Barcelona, was incredible. Like he pushed him in an Arsenal team that was lacking in any quality. He pushed him to Barcelona, was amazing. His first season at Chelsea as well, most assists in the league, second of all time in one season.
That first night against Burnley, when you brought in Costa and Fabregas, you just knew then the league was going to
go to you.
Yeah,
I think he was
and
amazing.
It came the season after, didn't it?
I wish he never went to Barcelona. I wish we got to see him more in the Premier League. I think he's one of the great. I think he's one of the greatest midfielders of all time, personally, for me.
Again, showing flexibility, went out to Barcelona and was often operating in a centre-forward role. He was the furthest forward out of the team, showing that he can do it there. But obviously, he's always been critiqued for his defensive, his performances defensively. He just doesn't want to do it. He's one of those flair players that likes to get on the ball and look at, have his head held up rather than flying into the challenges. But I think he's tougher than people make out
and
as well.
He's played under Mourinho and Conte, and he had to do a lot of defensive work for both of them.
Yeah.
A lot of times he was also played as like a deep line playmaker, wasn't he? And he seemed to work really well, as you.
And they often, Spain obviously been blessed, as we say, Silva, and that's Fabregas, without even mentioning Cazorla. But those three are often, pitted against each other because they've been in the Premier League, they're Spanish. How would you rank those three? I think for me, I'd have to go Silva, Fabregas, then Cazorla.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I kind of agree. I think Cazorla was amazing, but he did have a lot of injury concerns. And overall, on his day when he was fit, he was amazing, and he could single-handedly play teams off the park. But there wasn't that many days he could do that because he was so injury prone, and there was so many seasons where he missed out massive chunks for being injured.
And I think if it's still early days because he's still a young lad, but had he not picked up the injuries and dropped off recently as well, in recent years, he's obviously come back to it now. I think maybe if we say in another 7 years, we could be mentioning Dele Alli. Yeah. I don't think that's a bad shout.
I think Dele Alli could go
down. Season he
as
came
one
in, say he came up from League One at MK Dons, to, Poch really got him and Kane firing and got them linking up.
And Mourinho's just started to bring Alli back out of his sloping form.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but obviously, nowhere near this side in my opinion just yet, but I think he's worth a mention. But obviously
for the next decade, when we do this in 10 years time,
when we're
the Drop Ball's 10th birthday,
we'll be on our own weights, but we're hopefully still in Sheffield because that'd be wonderful. Greasy chip butty.
How about your attack, because I know Nathan had three.
Well, I've been playing two wingers, so should we go wingers the first and strikers?
Let's go wingers.
I've gone for Eden Hazard and Raheem Sterling are my two wingers in my starting 11.
Nathan?
I've gone Eden Hazard on the left, and then the right, I've gone Gareth Bale.
That's exactly the same as mine.
Those, what was it, two or three seasons towards
the
start.
Three seasons at the beginning of the decade.
Absolutely unplayable. Like, this is a top, top, world-class player, and he used to just beat teams on his own, really.
Remember his goal against Palace, where he just like, was 40, like 35 yards out, he just dinks onto his left foot and just goes for it. And
there's a couple that I watched this morning, one against West Ham, at the Bowling Ground, and then also the one against Sunderland, which was, I think it was his final game. It was at White Hart Lane. It's pretty, to be fair, it's pretty predictable. You know he's going to cut in, but there's just something like his athleticism. He's a, you know, just because he's fast, he's such a strong build as well. He's just a perfect athlete, in my opinion. And I hate the fact that since going to Real Madrid, he's been scapegoated so much, and yet he performs like he did in that Champions League final against Liverpool, scoring a bicycle kick. I mean,
Man United could do with an experienced forward up top. Bring him home. Bring him back to the
wages. I went Hazard and Salah.
I don't think Salah should be in contention for this discussion.
I said Salah because I did have Bale on my bench, but I said Salah because he obviously had that one. Was it last season or the season before?
The season before. 32 goals.
But also this season, when they've been, because I think he's had a couple of injury knocks this season. When Liverpool don't have him in their team, they've looked a completely different side. This season, he might not have been getting as many goals. Trust me, my fantasy team has felt it. But what Liverpool miss when he's not playing, I can't describe what it is. It's just there's something about him. Maybe
there's an it factor about him. I'd say though nowadays, I'd say Mane and Firmino are more important than Salah. I think Salah is the one that's interchangeable in that lineup.
I think Mane. If we're doing a team of the season so far, I'd get rid of Salah and put Mane in. But I'm on about the past couple of years. I know he's not. I know at Chelsea he was a flop, and I know
he's had 3 years in the Prem, real years, because the year at Chelsea doesn't really count because he didn't even get a look in. I'd say out of that front three, the only thing that should be in contention is Firmino, for me personally. I know that Salah got the goal record, but I don't think that that's enough for me to add in overall. I think that at times Mane has been better. I think Firmino is the most underrated forward in the league, if not the world. And I think Salah can be great on his day, but there has been a few injuries, and there's also not been an, I'd say for 3 years, he's not really long enough to be classed as the best of the decade.
But you've got De Bruyne.
On the bench.
I think Hazard deserves mention, because people always say, oh, his goals record is not, you know, nothing of, you know, Sterling or that. But whenever Chelsea have needed him, especially last year, it was just basically, you know, get it to him and he will, you know, jink his way through, and that's it. And against PSG, he showed that again for Real Madrid.
The thing is, if you just go off stats, you'll say for an attacking player of his quality, he's not getting enough goals and assists. And yeah, it's right in some regards, but if you watch any Chelsea game, when he turns up to his best level, he might not score an assist, but everything is going through him, and he's just causing so many problems for teams, isn't he?
Yeah, most foul player, isn't he, in the Premier League? And obviously, it wasn't even the easiest start in the League Cup. Went away to Swansea. I don't know if you guys remember, but obviously the incident with the ball boy.
Yeah,
you know,
kicked him.
Your new signing from France could have been easy for him to go into his shell, and because obviously the media's on his back already. Big price tag coming in for, well, and nowadays it's not, is it? It's about 45 million. Nothing
that
nowadays.
That was
big back then.
You beat Man United to signing him, and I was so upset because I knew he was going to be special.
Yeah, he knew he was going to come to a team that was going to win trophies.
If he'd have came with Van Persie, maybe we would have won a bit more.
I mean, that would have been unreal. But
what does your bench look like in attack then?
So for wingers, I've not got
a winger on the
bench. One on the bench. I've got Riyad Mahrez. Definitely deserves a shout.
Mahrez was in my team for a while, but I took him out for one reason. I think there is a Leicester player in my lineup. I'm guessing you know who's going to be after that.
I do.
I think Riyad Mahrez is the best player ever to wear a Leicester City shirt.
Wes Morgan.
I mean, seeing him in passing is unreal. Like he's untouchable when he's dribbling with the ball. But I think the form with Man City has been a bit lackluster. Like he's not really been given the first team opportunity. He's made reserved. Obviously, he's been preferred to Sane's been preferred. Sterling's been preferred. So I think he's not really had the game time to deserve to be in that team. Although that season at Leicester, the two seasons at Leicester, both of them, even when Leicester were nearly relegated, he was amazing. Even in the Championship, he was amazing.
Yeah.
And I do think he's Leicester's best ever player, but I don't think he deserves to be in the team.
Winger on my bench, Raheem Sterling, who you've got in your starting.
I think Sterling, obviously I didn't have him in there. I just thought it'll be a bit disrespectful if I didn't put a Leicester player from that, you know, just from that title winning season. You can't not. Obviously, we have Kante in there, but that's for his Chelsea merits as well. Sterling, big shout-out as well. Obviously, the career at Liverpool really was one where
that
it was...
three.
Well, it was amazing, but, you know, the amount of criticism he got from the media and he continues to get, and his finishing really just wasn't up to scratch. Went to City with a big price tag, and Pep Guardiola's brought an unreal amount of talent out of this kid, and he's still, as I call him a kid, because he's still 23. So
he's gonna drag us to the Euros this year, isn't he? Isn't he, boys?
Well, we're already there, mate. So
I mean, to the final. I mean, he's going to win it for us. Is what I'm saying.
It's football coming home.
It's already home, mate. You've got him in the team. We've already won it.
How is your? Who have you put down? I presume we've all got the same striker.
I've got Sergio Aguero as one. I mean, actually, more four of us have got.
I've got
Jamie Vardy.
He's on my bench because I was only playing one. Yeah,
he's not on my bench.
Who's your strikers?
Well, the striker on my bench is Robin van Persie, who I would like to touch on later in the show.
I've got both on my bench. I've gone for Aguero at top.
Yeah, I don't think you can really question having any other. I've got over the past decade at
my
least.
My bench.
Oh, yeah, I've also got Harry Kane. I've got two strikers on my bench.
I've got two strikers on my bench. I've got two in the team.
Okay.
So I've got Sergio Aguero and Vardy on the pitch, and then on the bench I've got Harry Kane and Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, personally. Rooney. You do forget about the boy.
People might say, "Oh, well, he was better in the, like." I'd say his best run was probably like 2007 to 2014. So like, is a lacking bit of the first half of the decade. Like, first half
I think
of the decade.
If they've done enough in those 4 years, then why not?
Two Premier League titles in that time. He's captain of the club for ages. Top goal scorer for Man United. He nearly was only player that was looking like he could push Shearer's record for a while, and now it's looking like only Harry Kane can do it. I think he deserves a mention in there.
Nikola Zigic,
Bentner in there as well. I'm going to just say the fact that Harry Kane's in this 18-man squad means there's a Norwich player in the team of the decade.
Joe Ash levels shoehorn in that.
Right,
but I say I ain't got any ex-United players on my team.
Shame. There's three ex-Leicester players in this one.
I know I've not really talked about Aguero yet, but do you want to move on to player of the decade? Because
I feel like we're all going to have the same.
I'm just going to say why I've put Vardy in the team.
I feel like if you've gone different.
I've gone different.
Oh. I went Aguero.
So have you three gone Aguero?
I've gone Aguero.
He's got 100. Do you want to announce
it? Yeah,
you do yours first. Explain why.
All right, so it's difficult to look past Aguero, but I've actually gone Vincent Kompany. The point that I made earlier, never had a solid centre-back partnership. Still a very weak defence, as much as they spent a lot of money on it. You had so much change. You had Kolarov, you had Clichy, you had Zabaleta, who was great, but you know, petered off towards the end. You had Sanya as well. You forget about these players. Navas even filling it right back. The keepers as well behind him, never been solid, barring Hart. You know, Hart went, and then you've had Bravo come in, and obviously Edison recently.
Well,
yeah,
Caballero was there for
a year. Caballero wasn't, you know, top level to match the likes of Kompany. So I think the point until Laporte. Only solid centre back, but he's won 10 major trophies at City, and he's the club's best ever defender, in my opinion, best ever captain. I think once you have him in your side, the players already receive a 10% boost in morale. I think he just galvanises the squad.
I think missing him in the squad now is a major reason why Man City is sort of struggling a little bit in the league, especially. Obviously, they're missing a big centre back, but they're missing a leader in that team, I'd say, as well.
Yeah, obviously, came in from Hamburg back in 2009. It was the start of City's big spending, but he was quintessential, in my opinion, in their, you know, in their push for the titles when they really challenged United. He had 94 clean sheets, and he's actually had 26 goal involvements in 265 appearances. And I just think he's one of the best defenders to ever grace the Premier League.
To be fair, listening to that, it's the whole argument of players who of defenders or goalkeepers not getting the recognition they deserve, because it is easy. I've put Aguero, and I do think it's Aguero, but it is easy to see that like goal tally from Aguero and the amount of appearances he's made, and completely overlook any other any player who hasn't scored loads of goals or who hasn't assisted loads of goals. But at the end of the day, Kompany definitely has to be up. I'd put him in top three Premier League players of the decade.
Have you
definitely.
Got any honourable mentions before we touch on Aguero? You two?
No, I haven't.
Because I've got one
honourable mention. My honourable mentions are the rest of my squad. But
I've got one honourable mention for player of the decade, and that's N'Golo Kante. So obviously I picked Aguero, but N'Golo Kante joined him from Cannes for £5 million. I think it was 2014, 15, I think he's when he joined. He became an amazing player at Leicester. He literally changed, like, the role. It used to be called the Makalele role, but I've seen people call it the Kante role nowadays because he's just revolutionised defensive midfielding. The only player to ever win back-to-back titles at different clubs in the Premier League. He, in my opinion, is the best midfielder in the world right now. I think he's unplayable at times. I think Chelsea getting him for, was it 40, 35 million?
32.
Yeah,
like,
32
that was a steal.
Million.
You should, Leicester could have charged more money than they charged for Harry Maguire at the time, and you probably should have still paid it. He's, in my opinion, he's amazing. Without him in your team, you are nothing without him.
Cheers, Jeff.
You are nothing. You're
a fool. And you're a waste of time.
I think
good night.
Aguero, player of the decade. I mean, it's easy to say with his goals. 173 in 251 at the time of recording. Four Premier League titles, which he's led the line for. I think he's a 6-time Player of the Month winner. He's won the Golden Boot 2 times in the PFA Team of the Year, 2-time Man City Player of the Year, and of course that iconic goal against QPR. It's hard to look past him.
Don't talk
about
goal in my vicinity.
I fully appreciate Aguero, you know, giving him recognition. It'd be probably second in my list, but just think that he's always had excellent service from Silva, De Bruyne, you know, Nasri. They've always been able to supply him, whereas Kompany, as I said, single-handedly kept that defence solid.
Just going back to the point about Kante being the first player to ever win consecutive titles with different clubs, not the first. And you won't guess who. It's a goalkeeper, and he's played for Chelsea and Leicester.
Mark Schwarzer.
Yeah. Oh, he was the first player. He won the title with Chelsea, and he also won it with Leicester.
Was it Chelsea won before Leicester, and then Leicester?
Yeah.
Leicester. Fair enough.
What a hero.
I know. What a guy.
Did he not get a Premier League? I don't think he got a Premier League winner. Both times, because he didn't play enough games. He didn't play any Premier League.
Statistically wise, the Premier League class it is him being the first ever to win consecutive.
What a boy.
Do we want to go on to a best sign of the decade?
I'm going to put it out there. Robin Van Persie.
I've gone with Van Persie.
I went for a different Van.
Who have you gone?
I went for Van Dijk with an honourable mention of Kante or De Gea.
Van Dijk and Kante are my two other signings of the decade, but Van Persie for me is just unparalleled.
Yeah,
he was brought in with one job, 20 million. He was brought in to win our 20th title, and the first season he did that. It was an incredible season. I mean, it arguably one of the goals of the decade was his second goal in the game against Villa, which won us the league. Over amazing ball from Rooney and just an amazing volley. It was a signing. Obviously, I was buzzing for. I know loads of Arsenal fans on who hated it at the time, and they were so upset with him. But when you're brought in with your one aim was to win the league, and he did that. And it was without him, we wouldn't have won it.
Not just the goals, 26 goals, but 9 assists as well in 38 games.
Yeah,
literally single-handedly.
And at Arsenal, he'd always be a threat, but he didn't get as many goals as you'd probably think if you thought of him on a Man U career. But obviously coming in, like you said, Nathan, 26 goals and then 9 assists as well, really took it up to another level. And there wasn't much real support barring Rooney.
You've got to remember. I had that.
Rooney?
You've got to remember.
Rudolph.
You've got to remember. That team was the last season that we had Sir Alex Ferguson, and that team was inherited by David Moyes, which then went to Louis van Gaal, which then went to Ryan Giggs for a few weeks before Mourinho, before Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That team was...
Give him the contract!
That team was dreadful. That team was nowhere near...
You've literally turned on a computer and that smacked the table.
That team was nowhere near Premier League winning quality without Robin van Persie and Wayne Rooney.
Well, he scored in his first ever shot for Man U in a 3-2 home win against Fulham.
He did score a 90th minute winner against PSG in the Champions League, though, to give Oli the contract, though, did he? So it's not really Man United's best player.
Here's my honourable mention, along with Hazard, but my signing of the decade. I mean, it's a bit of a cop-out answer, but it's Aguero again. 38 million, and for all that, what he's done for the club, I think.
I went down the approach of Josh looking at things other than just... goals. Like I think Van Dijk has brought a stability to the defence.
I've got
a Liverpool
mention personally.
He kept 20 clean sheets last season in the Prem out of 38 games, which is an insane amount. And I know you can argue, oh well, the goalkeeper plays a part. Well, no, Van Dijk in this case was a massive part, because when did they had Alisson last season? It was the season before they had Thingy.
Carrius.
Obviously, he's just come second place in the Ballon d'Or. Is that the highest
place
this decade for a Premier League player? Not ever, because we've had Premier League players win it.
It's the highest place a defender's ever came in this decade for one. I think it's up there with the Premier League. I think Salah up there a few years ago?
Don't think
Salah
he was second.
No, Salah was third, wasn't it?
So like,
was Bale in the top three? On the top three, because it's all Ronaldo. So yeah, you're right.
I just think sometimes that it's easier to look at statistics, right? So obviously I was going to go Aguero as well, but I'd just given him best player. And I do feel like Van Dijk, I know this season Liverpool's defence has been a bit shaky. I don't know what to pinpoint that on. In the first few games, I kind of felt like they pressed a bit too high as a defence compared to last season, and that kind of left them susceptible. But I still think that when they inevitably win this title at the end of this season, Van Dijk will definitely have played a major role in that.
We'll go down as the biggest club legend, hands down. like he'd go down as one of the biggest club legends.
I was going to say, if you think biggest,
not the biggest.
Yeah, I wouldn't
know
about
that.
That was a hot take.
No, he'll go down as one of the biggest legends in the club's history. He has to.
What are we saying for bargains of the decade?
N'Golo Kante, both to Leicester and to Chelsea, $5 million and $35 million. Like,
I was going to go Kante, but I thought other people would go Kante. So I'm touching on something Josh mentioned earlier. And at the moment, especially, I think Dele Alli from MK Dons for $5 million was a quite a good steal, especially the player he's become. I think it was after MK Dons had hammered Man United.
It was. It was 4-2 in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And we got destroyed.
Van Gaal be slipping like, again.
I said, just push him over. I just thought Dele Alli, I thought he's definitely come into his own since Mourinho came in. And he played decently under Poch. He just had a
I think
a
he's one of England's best players, personally. Like, he's in every England team I'm lining up for the Euros, personally. And I think he's one of the
best. We weren't saying that a few months ago, were we?
We weren't. But so overall,
he's gone Alli.
I've got Alli with an honourable mention of James Milner from a free transfer from Man City.
Yeah.
My honourable mention is Kante both times as well. But my bargain of the decade, I mean, you might say it's biased. $7 million from Marseille, a Mr. Cesar Azpilicueta.
Yeah, goes under the radar.
Summer of 2012, he's made...
Where's the summer?
By this podcast goes out, he would have made 250 appearances. That includes 146 wins, 6 goals, 27 assists. And he's become one of the most consistent defenders in all of world football.
He's a club legend, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's now got the captain's armband and 2 Premier League titles to his name. And he's also played, over the decade, every single position along that back four. And he's played them like a world-class defender in each of those as well. So, yeah.
That's a fair shout, that.
Do you want to go for yours, Adam?
I've already said mine. N'Golo Kante.
And who's your honourable mention?
Honourable mentions? I don't even have one. I don't think there was anyone that was as good as N'Golo Kante. I think he's, as I said, best midfielder in the world, in my opinion, and for 30-ish million.
So, from 30 million to 450,000, I've gone Riyad Mahrez. Obviously, when he joined Leicester there in the Championship, he was an unknown quantity coming to the league. Pearson never was able to get, you know, great figures out of him. But in that title-winning season, it's really difficult because you see it as him, himself, Kante and Vardy. It's probably the main three. But Mahrez's flair just was something different. And even though you could kind of predict that, and still nowadays, you know that he's going to come in on that left, you really can't stop him. He's just a great player to watch. Like you said, Adam, the best player you've watched for Leicester. But
I've seen some woeful Leicester players. I was there. I had a season ticket in the League One season. I've seen David Nugent struggle against League One opposition.
Martin Wycorn. But obviously, 17 goals in that title-winning season. And I remember there was a point where Leicester, I think they went to the Etihad and beat them. And there was a time where Mahrez had to retake his penalty, because he slipped and it hit his other foot, so double hit, and that could have easily gone, you know, scuppered the season. You know, they bounced back away at the Emirates as well, which, and it obviously went on to win the season. And his left foot's like a wand. So I want to move on to biggest flop of the decade.
Alexis Sanchez
times two.
Yeah.
Nathan's got to go last. I'm saying Radamel Falcao to Manchester United, and then also to Chelsea as well. Just Radamel Falcao in the Premier League.
Nathan?
Mine's a bit of pushing the boundaries of the rules, but I've gone Tottenham Hotspur's transfer business during the 2013-14 summer window.
With the exception
of Christian
Eriksen. Right. Yeah. So obviously they had the main man Bale, world record fee to Madrid. Instead of investing it wisely on 2 or 3 great players, Villas-Boas decided he'd adopt a pick and mix from Europe approach, signing Chadli, Capoue, Chiriquez, Lamela, Soldado and Paulinho. And Soldado, 26 million, was the worst of a bad bunch. He had a good goal scoring returns from Valencia, and then before for Getafe. I think he scored like 18, 17, 24 goals in his previous 3 years. His first season at Spurs, when he was meant to replace the goals Bale had left with, netted only 6 in 28 games, only 2 of them coming from open play. Season after, he made only 1 goal from 24, and after that he was shipped off to Villarreal for 10 mil. I think the only player that's really lived up to hype has been Eriksen. He's been world class, and you can't deny that. But the rest, even Lamela for 30 million.
He's not had a string of games because he's just been injury prone.
I would honestly say one of the worst players this decade in the Premier League was Radamel Falcao. When he came on loan to us from Monaco, There was so much excitement. This man was destroyed the Portuguese league with Porto. He then destroyed it in La Liga with Atletico Madrid, and there was so much hype about him. Atletico Madrid, in 68 games, he got 52 goals.
He was the informed striker. Him and Aguero were best strikers.
It was incredible. We expected so much from him. He played 26 games for us and he got 4 goals. It was technically his loan cost us, I think it was, his loan cost us 16 million. So it was £4 million per goal he got for the club, technically. It was awful. And then it was the same sort of form at Chelsea. At Chelsea, he played 10 games and he got a goal. It was just woeful. And I think he may be one of the worst strikers I've seen in the decade.
I think me and you both agree that Sanchez, not only did he burn a pocket in Man United's wage bills, he also produced 3 goals in 2 seasons, which is absolutely woeful. And how much was he on a week? Was it 300k?
350.
But that
350K.
Also,
that, no, it's not an also. No, it's a definite.
No. Just another fact on that. There was a clause in Wayne Rooney's contract where he had to be the highest paid player at the club. So when Sanchez came in for 300,000 a week, then bumped Rooney up an extra 50k a week. So our wage bill was just increasing more and more with him in the team.
I don't know if anyone had any honourable mentions, but I went Andy Carroll to Liverpool.
I had Andy Carroll to Liverpool as well.
My honourable mention was Aquilani to Liverpool. We were meant to replace Xabi Alonso and he was just an absolute catastrophe.
Nice. Yeah.
What about best manager of the decade?
So I've gone Claudio Ranieri. Yeah, it's going to raise eyebrows, I think.
Got Fulham relegated.
Yeah, but that was with 2 other managers that
season
as well.
It's why I couldn't give him
I've gone Ranieri. People talk about this, and I think it needs to be more made of it, but it's the best Premier League win of all time. So who better than to give it to the guy that did it? He was a relatively decent coach at Chelsea as well. Obviously, this is before the decade started.
He deserved a big win, didn't he?
But, if you consider personality as well, one of the nicest lads, dilly-ding, dilly-dong.
Who did you get?
I'm going to go last, man.
All right.
I went Guardiola. But that's just purely based on the fact that if we're just talking Premier League here, he's done something which no other Premier League manager has done. And I have given honourable mentions to Alex Ferguson, but I also gave an honourable mention to Eddie Howe. I don't think he's done much in terms of actually winning Prem or getting them high in the Prem, but I just think he needs to be recognised for the fact that... But if we're talking about a recap of the decade...
Yeah.
Start of this decade, Bournemouth were in the fourth tier of English football. And yeah, this season they might be looking like relegation candidates, but that is a massive change in 10 years.
Stabilised the club.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying... I could never give him the top Premier League manager.
Until this season, they've always been sort of... They've never been a relegation candidate since they... Apart from the first season they came up, they've always been someone that's looked like we're going to finish mid-table, maybe push for Europe space as well.
I know that I can't say that he's the best Premier League manager ever, because Guardiola's... Or at least in the decade, Guardiola's won a back-to-back. Ferguson's won 2. Ranieri took a Leicester team and then took a Fulham team back down to the Championship. But Eddie Howe still has managed to pull a team from... I don't think they were anywhere near going down to the Conference, but still League 2 to the Premier League is an amazing... It's one of the best stories the Premier League seen in a long time, bar the Leicester win,
and he's still doing it with pretty bog-standard players that were there at the time. Simon Francis, Moussa. Alan Smith. Yeah. Had to get it in there. Charlie Daniels, Steve Cook. All these players are still within the squad. Provides continuity for them, but also, the fresh signings of Fraser and Wilson.
Spark it up a little bit.
Who have you got, Nathan?
Well, I'm pretty sure we've gone for the same, so I'll just get mine out before your United stuff comes out.
Oh, here we go. Alex Ferguson.
But I've gone Alex Ferguson. He's won 2... he only had 4 seasons this decade. He won 2... 2010-11 and the 12-13. That was won by 9 points and then 11 points. And the other two missed out by a single point in 09-10 to Chelsea, and then finished the 11-12 with the same points as City, losing only on goal difference. So I think really he's had 4 great seasons at the start of the decade, and I think he's pipped Guardiola to the post.
I have to agree.
Oh, surprise.
We are in a time limit here, Westwood, by the way, so we don't need 15
minutes. Go now.
That's the worst Man United team we've ever... maybe not right now, might be worse, but until that... That's the worst team. It's the worst team he ever had. It's the worst team he had, apart from maybe the very, very beginning. And the fact he was able to win two Premier Leagues and then be runners-up for 2 of them, one of them only by goal difference. It's such a feat. Guardiola's been able to put millions and millions and millions into that team. and the team that that was left for Ferguson there was worth nothing.
Both of them, I think you have to say, are excellent.
But he is,
player
Guardiola is the runner-up.
Player managers, you know, Guardiola's been able to convert the likes of Fabian Delph to a left back. You know, he's made Bernardo Silva a competent central midfielder when need to be. Ferguson as well just really galvanised that squad and isn't afraid to give him a battering, basically. But also, I know he hasn't won anything and it might be tainted recently, but I think you have to shout out Pochettino, what he did at Southampton, but Spurs as well, has really put Spurs.
No, I don't agree.
If we mention him, let's mention Mourinho. Let's mention
Conte. My honourable mentions are Guardiola, Jose Mourinho and Pochettino. I don't think Pochettino's right at the top. I wouldn't put him in top five, but I think that to get Spurs into contention for top four and in contention for Champions League, you know, when, like you said, Nathan, those summer signings were just woeful and the managers before really weren't inspirational, I think fair play. But goal of the decade, this is basically what I've done. I've kind of split it up into different
categories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
skill, I presume have you got like skill?
I've got a free kick goal, a volley, a team goal, and then a meaningful one.
Bloody hell. Are you releasing a book on this?
Meaningful's Aguero in 2012 winning the title.
I went for company against
Leicester. Yeah, I went company versus Leicester.
So I've not got a meaningful one. I mean, the most skillful.
But you can think. You just said one there.
I mean,
Aguero.
I've got a more meaningful one personally, but it sort of links into my game of the decade, so I'll talk about that.
For team goal, was it Wilshere?
Yes.
Goal, isn't it?
That one, and then for meaningful, shout out to Vardy versus Liverpool as well. Where it bounces and then he just hits it and Mignolet's just in no man's land.
My overall goal of the decade has to be Giroud's scorpion kick against Palace
first January 2017.
For just like, because like you, I also, you've got to note stuff like company's goal, a centre back for captain scoring and basically winning the league with
that
goal.
Off for him.
Yeah, but that goal against Palace, I've just not seen a goal like that before or since.
I've also got one of the goal on the
Mkhitaryan
list. I think we all know which one it's going to be. The month is February. It's 2012. Old Trafford.
Oh, here we
Manchester
go.
Derby. Wayne Rooney, in my opinion, one of his best goals, apart from some of the halfway lines he scored, because he's scored 70 goals from the halfway line.
That was unreal.
The bicycle kick off his shin, the iconic celebration in front of the Stratford end. It's just...
Do you know what I can't wait for? Next decade's awards. Because beautiful. Guess what? It ain't going to have no Man United in it at all.
You wait to see.
Because Igor was given the contract and he's not going to do anything.
That goal's one of the meaningful ones for me because it was a derby. And the fact how much that goal means to the club.
Yeah. 100%. I think you have to. I could have gone that, you know, for volley, but for volley, really breaking onto the scene as a defender as well, who's had a good career, international level and Premier League level. Danny Rose versus Arsenal.
His debut game as well.
Yeah, debut game.
It was a good goal.
As I say, breaking onto the scene, the ball comes out after a punch out, and he just swings the left foot, but it just flies in, and it's so attractive.
There's two more goals I quickly want to mention. First of all, I'm not going to class this as goal of the decade because no one even knows who he is. But Kasami for Fulham against Palace. It comes over to him on the on so far on the right wing, outside of his boot, and it goes in, left hand side netting.
I like Cisse's version of that against Chelsea.
Cisse's against Chelsea.
Is that your goal of the season?
I was going to say
mine was just bog standard Aguero against QPR.
But then
I'd have to mention Cisse.
One of the most meaningful goals. I'd want to talk about the game of the decade. Right,
that's our next topic.
This is the next topic, and I think for me, it's got one of the most important goals of all time. It's the 2-2 between Chelsea and Tottenham on the second.
Oh, it's the one which led to Leicester winning the league.
Allowed Leicester to win the league.
What a brawl that was!
AKA the battle at the bridge.
It meant
scrap.
Chelsea knew that a draw would mean it'd be fit mathematically impossible for Tottenham to win the league. I was at a pub with my dad and my dad's best mate. Lifted up.
I swear, you and your dad are Man United fans.
We are, but my dad. It was in a Manchester
in a Manchester pub. Or do you mean Leicester?
In a Leicester City fan pub, and everyone. There was Liverpool fans in there. There was Spurs fans in there. There was a Spurs fan crying in there. It was in my opinion, it's one of the best games I've ever seen, just because of the atmosphere. Obviously, being in Leicester at the time of that win,
that was also
made it so much more special. But
that was also my game of the decade, just because. Just such a horrid season where you finish 10th and you're absolutely nowhere to be seen. Everyone's, taking the piss out of your club, basically, how much of a shambles it is. And the fact that you can turn up in May and at home, Spurs 2-0 up, thinks, you know, they've still got the title race still on. Come out half-time, Hazard comes on, changes the game. Cahill scores, 83rd minute, just curls a shot in, completely capitulates Spurs. And so that's, even in Spurs' best season they've had this decade,
they finished Chelsea's, that in a two-horse race.
Chelsea's worst season this decade, and Chelsea still stopped them winning the title.
I went for a more neutral entertainment game, and mine is Newcastle 4, Arsenal 4.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I just, as a neutral looking on, I've got no ties to either clubs, and I always do quite like the smaller underdog to win. And that was just such a performance from Newcastle. The second... who was it who got sent off?
It was Diaby.
Yeah, second he got sent off, it changed the game for Arsenal completely. Newcastle were just all over him. You got to love Joey Barton scoring a couple.
Penalties.
And what a goal to round it off. Rest in peace, Chiek Diote, but yeah. What a goal to round it off.
Yeah, I'd have to go with that one as well, Joe. 25-yard volley to get the point. Pardew under pressure as he was throughout his tenure there. But I was actually looking, unfortunately it's 2009, so I can't include it, but the Arsenal 4-4 away result at Liverpool where Charvin got four. But obviously I've had to go on from that. But another honourable mention has to be Arsenal 1, Man United 3. So 2 years ago, don't know if you remember, it was 33 shots for Arsenal, 16 on target. Pogba got a red card and De Gea had, in my opinion, the best goalkeeping performance that I've ever witnessed live. I don't think you can argue against it. Arsenal had 76% of the ball, and you know, odds were right against United, and to go and do it at the Emirates as well to win 3-1. I think United had four shots on target and managed to get three goals. So classic Mourinho, park the bus. But also entertainment wise, but also because it's for Chelsea, Man City 1, Chelsea 3 at the Etihad in 2016. So this was the season that Conte came in and won the Premier League on the bounce, you know, straight away. Chelsea went down 1-1 after Cahill scored an own goal. He absolutely sliced and diced it into the back of the net. Heads could have dropped, but we came out and it was a classic Conte performance, really. Ball over the top, Costa bullying his way past Otamendi, thrown into the ground, 60th minute goal. Willian gets one, Hazard in the 90th to wrap it off. And then in the 96th, Aguero lunges into David Luiz and gets a red card. 97th, it sees Fernandinho wound up by Fabregas and sent off. So they're two mentions that I'd like to give it as well.
Before we...
I've got another quick honourable mention.
I've got one as well, yeah.
It was Arsene Wenger's 1,000th game in charge of Arsenal. And what happened was 15 minutes... Well, Chelsea were already 2-0 up at this point. 15 minutes in, Oxlade-Chamberlain got sent off, or should have done, because referee mistaked Gibbs for Oxlade-Chamberlain, sent him off. And after that, it was a barrage. 4-0 at halftime, 6-0 final score. And what a way to
Was
send
that the one where he got sent to the stands?
Yeah.
As well.
He's had a couple. He'd done it at Old Trafford as well.
I went for an honourable mention of a 6-1 defeat in a certain Manchester derby a couple of years back.
I mean, as much as it's painful to say as well, we should probably mention the QPR, Man City QPR on the 2012.
I feel like someone might be mentioning that in an upcoming.
This is the last one.
Moment of the decade. It could be anything on the pitch, off the pitch, anything.
Should we cast our potential ideas and then we'll try and maybe pick one?
What? Like, well.
Okay, so we'll
do you
want to
go for the honourable mentions and the actual one?
No, so I would say we all say our idea and then we then between us pick which is the best moment of the decade.
Okay. Well, I know you're not going to pick mine because mine's.
Okay. Go ahead.
So,
yours then.
So my honourable mention.
Was when Billy Sharp.
No, that's not an honourable. Is obviously there's the Aguero moment. I personally, that's not my main mention, but I personally think the Aguero one tops the Leicester win personally, because I think we're on about a moment here. Leicester win, yeah, okay, you could say okay when Chelsea equalised, but the Leicester win was a drawn out whole season. You will never get again two local rivals level on the exact same amount of points. And the winner is decided by a 96th minute winner. You will never get that again. We might see another team. We might see Leicester lift the trophy again. We might see another small team lift it. But you will not see them like that series of events happen again. So I think that's got to take the second place for me. First place, you're not going to like because it's personal to me. But for someone who's had realistically, Sheffield United have not had a good decade of football. We've seen League One for the past, for like a good,
come on,
four,
spit it out,
for
spit
a good 4 years
out
of a decade. Championship for two. Actually, we've seen League One for about 6 years. We've not been in the Premier League for 13 years. And then...
Just say it.
We're one nil down at Bournemouth.
we literally...
85th minute. I told you earlier it was Billy Sharp, the creep riot. 86th minute. Either way, he was in my fantasy team. Who comes on? Billy Sharp. What happens? 85th minute. Bangs it in the bottom corner. Yeah, messy goal. It's a poacher's goal, but that's what it's a Billy Sharp goal. Then the scenes, you do not get that at Man United. You do not get that at Stamford Bridge. The scenes of them away fans. The scenes of them away fans when we scored that goal will top any goal your team has scored this season. There was just limbs everywhere. And as a Sheffield United fan, it was such a massive moment because it was kind of announcing us back on. You can rush me all you want, mate. I had to listen to, Wayne Rooney's goal was the best of the year.
I'll ramble on for
Christmas,
3 minutes.
Where's
Billy
the Christmas
Sharp
spirit?
Mate.
Come on, Josh. Josh, what are you saying? Moment of the decade.
Billy Sharp.
So I haven't actually got a concrete one.
Or Lundstrom against Palace.
I haven't got a concrete
We've only scored about eight goals this season. Let's just
name
them
all. It would have to be when Lundstrom was ruled offside against Spurs.
Great moment
that was. No, I think you'd have to go for the QPR game, City, but also Bocelli performing for the game.
I told you this yesterday. I made him watch the performance yesterday. It's my only moment.
I've already seen it.
Only moment.
I didn't know you back then, mate.
I made you watch it yesterday, mate. I was like, oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's Andrea Bocelli performed for Leicester's final game.
Serenade.
UBL's that.
Oh, it's that bloody opera bloke.
One of the greatest singers.
That's your best moment. An opera singer.
So, let me just set the scene for you here. Leicester.
Oh, that's the line I was about to use for my one.
Leicester have just won the league on a draw between Spurs and Chelsea.
No way.
Right? The next game is at home.
No.
Right? Which is one of the last games of the season.
Oh my God.
There is a full-on celebration. Jesus. Everyone in Leicester... I don't think Leicester slept for that entire week leading up to this game. It was amazing. Right? And then, you have out of nowhere... We're expecting a big celebration. They'd been told... The fans had been told to get the stadium. They had to be in the stadium half an hour early, so we knew there was something was going on. We didn't know what was going to be there. Claudio Ranieri brings up his best mate, Andrea Bocelli, to sing... it's like a 7-minute performance. There's fireworks going off. Everything's exploding. Everyone is singing along with Andrea
Bocelli.
I wouldn't
use the words exploding in that situation, mate.
He opens up his hoodie, Leicester City shirt. Fans explode. Everyone is just...
Fans explode?
Worry time.
Are we on about football? Yeah, because
exploding celebration. It was one of the most heartwarming moments, one of the best, a beautiful like climax to an amazing story, probably the best story in the Premier League history, in my opinion, of Leicester winning the league.
Well,
Blackburn.
Only.
Blackburn won it.
Beaten by my moment of the decade. So I actually had Let Me Set the Scene typed up to use, but just 2 weeks prior, Liverpool beat Man City 3-2, and Steven Gerrard, the team captain, the club legend, huddled his teammates in a passionate cry. We go to Carrow Road next week.
Cry.
We don't let this slip. Famous last words. Because the next 2 weeks on, obviously they beat Norwich, 2 weeks on, simple pass into Gerrard, deep line playmaker, lets the ball come across him, loses his foot in, and a desperation to try and retrieve the ball, he lunges forward and then completely slips over, and in comes Demba Ba, straight on through on goal.
What a boy.
Gerrard, you can just see like the pure sadness, agony in his eyes, as he's trying to chase back, knowing he can't reach him. Ba puts it past Mignolet. And you've just watched the man who's never won a Premier League title. He said he promised the fans, we won't let this slip. We'll go on and win the Premier League, basically, is what he said. And you've just seen your club captain, your club legend slip over and cost you the title. Must have been so heartbreaking and agonising for those Liverpool fans. And I bloody loved it. That's my moment of the decade.
I think if I was to listen to all four, I'd go with the... Just because, as I said, I think the Aguero one's more of a moment. I think mine and his... Mine and Westwood's, and maybe Nathan's, are very personal to each other.
I think anyone can laugh at Liverpool fans. That's not personal.
The sad
all.
Thing is, we've got to laugh now because they're going to win the bloody Premier League this year.
I think the opera singer is very personal because I don't know why to a Man United fan, but still, like
just in general,
like if you've opera got, for me, if Sheffield United won the league and we got a bloody opera singer, I'd be going, why aren't we Arctic Monkeys on the bloody pitch? Because let's face it, if an opera singer is the best Leicester have got to offer. I hope we don't win the title again because I do not need like.
I mean,
hearing
this isn't Music Box. We're gonna keep it strictly PG. We're gonna keep it drop ball. But I think all of them deserve a mention. They've got different reasons for it. I just think that, you know, globally and in the whole grand scheme of things, Aguero's goal
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Balotelli.
But, yeah, and then you know the rest.
It's what
I swear,
it's in the theme
you'll never
music,
see anything like this ever again. But
they've got love bites and everything.
But it's like, if you're saying something about Champions League, a memorable moment will have to be, you know, Torres and Gary Neville's passion.
I'm sure we'll do a overall European...
Hey, don't tempt them. That'll be a New Year gift, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, we really do hope you enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. I'm sure you guys did. And listen out for us over Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
It is now!